This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 229. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Is Diana cheating on Clark already? DC is black and blue, Jaime gets tossed, and breaking news. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, October 21st, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Justice League number 13 by Johns and Daniel. So the big change in terms of Clark and Diana just didn't seem to continue forward into this issue.
Well,
they kind of stopped short.
And they need to talk about it.
Yes.
They need to talk about it.
So now we don't know if this whole thing's going to go public or not. I mean, they certainly made it sound like, oh, this is going to have huge ramifications for the DC universe, except if they don't actually follow up on it.
I think they float a balloon and saw it not float.
So they're just going to, maybe we won't do that. Well, most of the story introduces Cheetah into the new DCU, which this ties her into the Argus project / government organization. We learn that she was this expert in magical antiquities that they were using. She's cut by this mystic knife, and now she's essentially a werecat.
Well, a werecheetah.
Right.
As it were.
Diana really feels guilty about it, just like she did when Steve Trevor was injured.
Well, the reason is that the knife would have never been in a position to cut her if it hadn't been for Diana.
Right. Now, she doesn't want to drag the Justice League into it, but Clark talks her into letting them help.
I just don't understand this whole thing with heroes can't get help from other heroes.
Right.
It just seems silly. They're standing around on the satellite or wherever the heck it is, and they're not doing anything. So why the heck doesn't Diana just say, okay, yeah, let's go do it?
What's the point of being a team? That's the whole point, is to help out each other. In the end of that story, Clark is bit by Cheetah during this ensuing fight when they find her, and now he's a werecheetah, whatever you want to call him.
Well, and probably vulnerable to this because of the fact that it's magic.
Right.
Yes.
Then there's a backup story where Amanda Waller drops Steve Trevor for Justice League liaison duty, which we already knew had happened. And then Green Arrow shows up and essentially offers him this job on this mysterious project. We know this is going to lead into Justice League of America number one, which is coming out, we believe, in February.
Well, now that you say it, we know it. I didn't remember about it.
Well, so. It says on the last panel.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't paying any attention.
Continued in Justice League America number one.
You see how interested I was in this comic? I wasn't really paying any attention.
And there was also a teaser for an upcoming Superman story, which got propagated among most of the titles, which ended up in not much of a main Justice League story at all because there were just so few pages left to actually get the main story in.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just to give the new artists some leeway and time. I don't know, but
you know, I just didn't think much of Wonder Woman in this issue. There were a couple times she was standing there, just almost looked like they copied the pose from an earlier position. Thrusting her bosoms out.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It just annoys me. These people don't look normal. Nobody would stand like that.
They're superheroes. Come on.
Striking poses.
DCU Presents number 13 by Andreyko and Rocha. So this is a team-up of Black Lightning and Blue Devil. This is their introduction as well into the new DCU. This drug deal is broken up by Blue Devil, who's essentially this stuntman wearing this mysterious costume. And he runs into Black Lightning, who's a school teacher with energy-based powers. And as we all know in Superhero Rule number 462, two heroes meeting for the first time must fight. So they do. Both think the other is working for the Whale, this mob boss.
Actually, just Whale. There was no the.
Oh, right. He's
because
just Whale.
His last name is actually Whale.
Yeah. We learn that Black Lightning's father is a reporter trying to track down Whale and get the big story. Blue Devil's grandfather is attacked by the mob. And as he dies, he touches Blue Devil's costume, and somehow the costume transforms. He becomes a real demon.
Well, before, when he had the costume on, it seemed to give him some powers anyway, right?
Right, right.
But he wasn't actually a demon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that will be interesting. I was thinking about that because in the old continuity, Blue Devil was actually a demon.
Right. And although he didn't start that way. He started pretty much this way, where he was just a guy with a costume. And then through some events, he becomes an actual demon. So this is kind of following the earlier history. Blue Beetle number 13 by Bedard and Guara. So Jaime's being tossed about in the DC continuity, mainly because of various schedules and titles coming and going. He was thrown into space by OMAC in the JLI annual, which ended that series. The JLI series. We learn he's near the Reach homeworld now, and he lands there and tries to survive and kind of fit in as best he can. He's discovered by the Mayan who originally had the Scarab, who's now this skeleton-like creature on the Reach homeworld.
Yes, with no real indication of how he got there.
Right. So Jaime runs into another Reach soldier who fought against the Blue Lanterns over in the Green Lantern New Guardians title. And at one point, during that battle, he was released for a moment from the Scarab, and he felt freedom for a few moments. And he wants to know how Jaime can be so autonomous and not just be completely controlled by the Scarab. If this seems confusing, it's because this title's about to go away. And they're clearly trying to jam a year of story into a few issues.
Well, they probably have to get everything here resolved because Blue Beetle will be moving over to Threshold.
Exactly.
And maybe they don't want to have to tell that story there.
Right. But speaking of cancellations, it's time for the DC News Roundup with, first off, four titles are getting the boot as of January. Grifter, which I'll just give you the sales involved. The September sales, Grifter was around 15,000. Frankenstein was about 18,000. Legion Lost was about 18,000. And as already mentioned, Blue Beetle, 16,000. I've been very surprised that they kept these four titles on this long based on the sales and the fact that they weren't getting better. They were continuing to drop. It seems that 18,000 is the new 20,000 in terms of when DC will cut off a title. Seems like if you reach 18,000, like that, you're done. As you mentioned, Blue Beetle is going to return in Keith Giffen's Threshold, who's actually going to reintroduce a bunch of rather obscure DC science fiction heroes. I'm kind of looking forward to that. There's one called Star Hawkins, and I remember reading a reprint of that was in probably an old Detective or something.
Boy, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's very obscure. Star Hawkins, who's a sci-fi private eye.
Hmm.
And he has a robot assistant, and I don't remember her name offhand, but the running gag is he's so broke he has to keep pawning her. And then he takes a case, and then he's able to get her out of the pawn shop.
Okay.
And Grifter, who I mentioned, is already in Team 7 now, so he's got a place to land.
Well, that's really not true, because that would be jumping back in time.
Well, but you'll be able to see the character at least.
Yeah. I know, but we won't know what he's doing in current continuity.
Right. I believe Frankenstein might get involved in Justice League Dark. I'm not sure. I thought I saw something about that. And, of course, Legion Lost is just a spinoff title of Legion, so not an issue there. So now let's go to the never-ending legal battle. So we learned this week that the Schuster heirs are losing their rights in court. A 1992 agreement that was made with Schuster's sister to basically get them a stipend is already in place. So the judge said, you've already given away your rights because of that. Agreement's already in place. It's done, which was a big surprise. No one expected that to work as a legal argument because it hasn't in the past.
Well, considering that they originally, Siegel and Schuster, sold the rights to Superman to DC Comics or the whatever the precursor of that was.
Right.
Originally, yes. Why would it matter if they did it again in 1992?
Well, originally, the issue comes back to the point that they were hired as work for hire in 1938, and they had actually created like two issues, the equivalent of two issues of Action Comics, which were originally designed to be more comic strip layout based than a comic book, because nobody was doing that. The argument's always been, well, you didn't hire them until after they had done this other work. So the other work they technically own, which of course introduces Superman and Lois Lane and Krypton. So the argument's been, can you use those three concepts, DC? And that's what's fueled this never-ending legal battle. And so the latest thing is Schuster's lost their deal. DC says, okay, we own now officially 50% of the rights. The Siegel family owns the other half. That's still in court. Surely the Schusters will go back to court and try to contest this, and they will continue to do so. In fact, last week, Siegel's niece, I believe, it's niece or sister, put out this letter about how terrible DC is and trying to bully us, and we're going to keep fighting the good fight. And
did either of them have actual children, or are all their heirs brothers and sisters and nieces and
it's
nephews?
All brothers and sisters and nieces. I don't think any of them had any kids. Either of them had any kids.
I'm sorry. I think they're whiny then.
Right. And considering the fact that they've been paid off more than once.
And it really wasn't their work at all. You know, it was their uncle or brother's work.
Right. But Siegel and Schuster themselves were paid off right before the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie came out. Mainly because of it was going to look really bad if they didn't do something for them. And so they were given this major stipend and given a relatively small amount of money and said, okay, that's it. And apparently, for whatever reason, the lawyers involved didn't get them to sign something at the time, I guess. And so then there was another court case that came up in the 90s, and there's a separate court case coming on in terms of who owns Superboy as a character. So it just goes on and on and on. But all of this with the decision about the Schusters supposedly opens the door for a new Justice League movie. There are all these stories in the last few days, whether these are all rumor or actually based on reality, I don't know. The line of thought is now that they own Superman again officially, now they can make the Justice League movie, which they've supposedly announced to occur in 2015, which would go up against Avengers 2. They're very much, if they do this, they're basically going to run the opposite of the Marvel route, which has been introduce each of the heroes in their own movie and then have a big team movie, which obviously did incredibly well for Marvel. In this case, they would introduce the team and then do individual movies.
I just think the Marvel route is so much better because there isn't time to introduce six characters who are all major characters in a two-hour movie and expect us to have any feelings or concerns for them.
I think you're right, but all of this, as far as I'm concerned, until I notice that the film has started rolling on the movie, that's when I'll believe it and not before, because they've pulled the rug under us so many times.
Well, and I just quite frankly can't see. It can't be easy to get people into contract for things like this. And how are you going to make the movies close enough together anymore? I think that Lord of the Rings had the right idea in making all three movies at the same time and then releasing them a year apart. And I think this would work the same way. I think it would be better to make your Wonder Woman movie and your Superman movie and your Green Lantern movie and then at the same time be making the Justice League movie.
Yeah, I think that would make more sense. But again, who knows until they actually start doing it, until they really actually do it instead of rumors and, yeah, absolutely, there's a script in progress, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Let's see some film. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play our America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
I'm pro-trying. Okay, go.
I'm TV related?
Yeah.
It's one TV show?
Yeah.
It's a show on one of the three major networks?
Yeah. You're going to ask me what network?
Yeah, I am. Is it a show on CBS?
You don't know what network it's on.
I don't
it
know.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, that kind of does.
No, it doesn't.
Is it a comedy?
No.
Is it a drama?
Yes. It's on ABC.
It's on ABC.
I just checked.
It's a drama.
Yes.
Is it a new drama?
No.
Okay. Existing series. Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it fantasy related?
Yes.
Is it Once Upon a Time?
It is. So who's on the cover?
The cast of Once Upon a Time?
No. Not the whole cast. Guess which people are on the cover.
Oh, I don't know the names of the people.
Well,
you're the one who watches it, not me.
You don't win then. You lose today. I'm tired of this. I'm going to guess a TV show. It's who's on the cover of
the
Entertainment
cast
Weekly.
Of who's, Once Upon
not
a Time.
What's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed. Other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek Next Generation and Justice League animated series reviews. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.